5. Loading. 4.
Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer is 20.
3. Almost there. 2.
Cross. And Dempsey's tonight again. And Donovan has gone. Oh, can you believe this?
1. Here we go. Now. Introducing Sunday League Finest Podcast with your host, David Donis and Roberto O.B. Hernandez.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sunday League's Finest. I am your host, David Donis, here with... Wait, what's that? O.B. is not in the building. Yep, sorry folks. O.B., he's just not dedicated to the podcast and decided to stand me up. There's a bit of a COVID epidemic over there in his living situation. So Obi right now is living out of a car and suitcase right now. So praying for him and his family that COVID passes and everybody's good and clear. And then we should have Obi's beautiful face back on next podcast, hopefully. But if not, you guys have me, and we've got some other folks we could bring in too. So we will persevere. So you guys will have to keep me company. This probably won't be one of our longer podcasts, probably a short one, just to catch up on the latest soccer news. So first of all, man, what a weekend. I'm still, you know, decompressing, taking it all in. It was just a lot that went on. Good things that went on. So first of all, you know, the weekend started off rough for me on Friday. Atlanta United, everybody knows about their struggles. Still with an interim coach for right now. Atlanta's been struggling to score goals, and finally, we are able to score some goals, and we still find a way to blow it. So we end up losing 3-2 to Orlando. So it's not a draw, at least, but I don't know if that's, you know, you probably want a draw over a loss, clearly. But sure enough, Joseph Martinez scores in the first minute, a beautiful golazo. Marcelino Moreno with a golazo too. So it really sucks when you score golazos and still lose. It's almost like, man, if we could have just saved that for another game when we're going to win. But either way, I think Atlanta United is just, we're not completely healthy. We obviously have some folks away to international duty, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Once we get everybody back healthy, our starters are back. We have a actual head coach that lets us drink water. I think we'll be firing on all cylinders. But, I mean, we're already close to halfway through the season. So, I mean, they would have to just, you know, go on a streak. We do play Montreal Wednesday. So they're the ones that have the last playoff spot in the East. And we also beat them, one of our two wins from earlier in the season. So hopefully, we can get 3 points out of that. I mean, I'm tired of getting one point here, 1 point there. We need freaking 3 points, so we can shoot up the standings. But, it's not all doom and gloom. It's MLS playoffs, so you guys know how it is. It's very forgiving. Galaxy fans know. You get hot at the right moment, you can squeeze into the playoffs and, make some noise. But anyways, we'll get into the Gold Cup. Obviously that's been the big hot topic, Mexico versus U.S. Gold Cup final, what everybody wanted. But first, man, the U.S. women's soccer team get eliminated by who else but Canada. They end up losing 1-0 to Canada. Off a penalty kick. Really wasn't, Canada was dominating the game at all. But still, the U.S. wasn't finishing or creating much chances. We saw this. They got through a shootout to get here. So we all knew that, it wasn't going to be a cakewalk, or it was, it's probably going to be difficult for them to get to even the final. So they go down to Canada. Sweden beats Australia, so the final will be Sweden and Canada. I'm not sure when that game is, but man, yeah, I mean, me and Obi talked about it. He mentioned that, you know, the U.S. players, they have a lot of individual talent, but not a lot. There's not a lot of, you know, structure there in a playing style. It's mainly about beating the other team one on one and just being there to finish off those chances. And I agree with that to a certain extent. You know, I also believe a lot of off the field stuff played into it. You know, we all know that women have been fighting for equal pay. There's a whole kneeling thing that took place. So a lot of that, you're still a professional at the end of the day, so it doesn't really matter. You still show up to play, but it's just hard to think that didn't play into this in some way, shape, or form. And this is not me coming at it like I wanted them to lose. Of course, no, I didn't want them to lose. I still wanted them to win. But, you know, just I didn't have that, oh my God, it's us against the world. We got to win because we're the best. And there wasn't that whole, you know, backing for me. And I don't know if you guys feel that way, but at least that's how I felt. So, you know, my question now is this a prelude of things to come? Is this what it may look like in the World Cup? You know, we do have some older players in the roster, like Rapinoe. So is it time for them to kind of bow out and let the younger ones take it? So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what comes next, because we're not used to the U.S. losing at all, least of all in the Olympics or the World Cup. I forgot what the number was, but coming into the Olympics, they were unbeaten in so many SEAL games. It was a ridiculous stat. So now they lose this one. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back and if the U.S. It can win the World Cup, or if the world is catching up. And I think they are catching up. I think teams like Canada, Sweden, Australia, you know, those teams, I think they're all going to be fighting for that gold medal or that, you know, the World Cup. So, tough loss for the women. But it is what it is. I still think we're going to be a tough team, but I just don't think it's a foregone conclusion anymore that the U.S. women are going to win the gold or the World Cup. But that might just be me. You know, it does happen. It's not like they've never lost. So we remember when they lost to Japan after the tsunami. So we have to be quick not to overreact. So sometimes I may be like that too. But anyways, guys, like I mentioned, this is going to be a quick one, so we're not going to go through all the different segments we have, like review of MLS, the Americans abroad, the NWSL, all that. Mainly just want to talk about the U.S. women and, of course, the Gold Cup. Man, I felt like a proud dad watching that game, as obviously Miles Robinson, he's been starting for the U.S. national team as our center back. Well, actually, the left back. Depends. Sometimes the formation moved a little bit, so he looked like he was the main center back. But a big surprise is George Bello coming into a game against Mexico in the final after he hadn't played since Martinique on the 4-1 defeat of them. So it was a big surprise to see George in there. I was like, wow, I didn't know if I was scared or happy that George Bello was in the game, because man, what a game to come into. Freaking Mexico, man, in front of almost 70,000 fans at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I mean, and he's a young kid. I mean, so it's pretty crazy, but you know, he stepped up in true Atlanta United fashion. George Bello and Miles had a great game, and even Miles, even greater game, because he scored the goal to win the United States the Gold Cup in the 117th minute. So man, all the United fans are going crazy. I was going crazy. What a great win. And again, since the beginning of the tournament, we talked about how Mexico is out for blood. They lost the Nations League final to the U.S. So they were coming to the Gold Cup, and they brought their as close to an A team as you can get. I know Chucky Lozano went down. I believe eight of the players that started for the Gold Cup also started the Nations League final. So I would say for Mexico, it was more of a A minus squad, and I think for the U.S. it was either a B minus to a C plus. Obviously, we did have some European players, like Busio and Gioacchini, but they weren't starters in the game for the Nations League final. The only starter I believe was Sebastian Lletget. I think Ariola was on the roster, but I don't believe he started or got any meaningful minutes. I'm not positive on that. So, I mean, it goes to show that, I mean, the kids, they brought it, man. There was some stat that was thrown out. The number of caps compared to Mexico was there was a huge difference. So obviously, a lot more experience on the Mexico side than the U.S. side. So I think everybody's pretty bullish about just the U.S. team in general and the depth that we have. And I mean, now Miles, it's we've talked about how shaky our defense is, and except for Sergino Dest and maybe Jonathan Brooks, everything is up for grabs. So I think Miles is really making a stake of potentially getting that starting role at some point. And I mean, I also think that George has a shot. The way he played well for 60 minutes. He was dangerous off that wing, creating chances. I'd like to see. I think he is going to get called up in for World Cup qualifying. He may not be starting, but I do think he gets the call up. So good for them. Brad Guzan, the other United player there, the goalkeeper, pretty sure he was just there for experience and to give some leadership to the rest of the goalkeepers. But Matt Turner, man, he had a huge save in that game. Besides the early giveaway with his feet, that I know the Mexicans wanted a penalty for that, which I don't see it. He pulled out of the tackle to not hit the player. So I didn't see a penalty there. But besides that, he had a great game, great tournament. I mean, that fight for the U.S. number one is going to be tough. We saw Ethan Horvath with that huge penalty save in the Nations League's final. And then you got Zach Steffen that obviously, he plays in Man City. He's getting a lot of playing time, but he's been the number one so far. So, I mean, it's going to be a battle. But it's a good problem to have. The U.S. has always been strong with goalkeepers, and I think it just continues to happen. So, I guess that's our baseball and football culture producing these great goalkeepers. But yeah, Mexico, they were I want to say they were dominating the majority game. I think for 60 minutes, they were obviously the possession was heavily skewed in their favor. They were creating more chances than U.S. by a lot. I will say though, the U.S. they had two really big chances with Paul Ariola hitting the side post, right side post. And then Jesse Zaldes, who was on a breaker with a keeper and completely missed a goal. Those two, I mean, those were pretty clear-cut chances. So I think the U.S., based on those two chances, they had a clearer chance of scoring than Mexico did, even though Mexico created a lot. I think there was one chance where Mexico had a pretty clear chance. I'm not sure it was Funes Mori, but the ball came into the box and it kind of hit like his shin instead of his foot. And man, barely missed the goal. That one was pretty close. But Mexico was dangerous the whole time. But the U.S. defense, they had a really good bend but not break attitude. So there were Mexico had their chances. But man, the number of times I saw Miles Robinson just clearing balls, Just jumping up, headering the balls out. I mean, he must have put his head on like 15 of those. So it was good to see. He was very, very stout back there. His passing was great. I mean, there was even a couple of times he took it through the middle. So I know right now I'm sounding like a Miles fanboy, but I just like seeing him the way he stepped up. And a lot of the, you know, we criticized the defense this entire tournament, and against the Mexico, they actually played better. It was more the midfield that was missing for the majority of the game, and you even had Jaycee Sadadis coming all the way back to help defend, which it was really difficult to get out of the Mexico press and hold the ball up. I think Mexico really. Them not scoring in the 60 minutes let the U.S. in, and from the 60th minute on, I mean, the U.S. started to take this game back, and then, you know, obviously into extra time, they were really putting Mexico under pressure, and then we had this free kick where Miles gets on the end of it. I think there was a little bit of a slight review for a little bit of offsides. I mean, it's very slight. It all depends how you interpret things. This game is nothing but interpretation. I mean, we had, let me think, I think there were three plays that could have been called for handball. There was one where I don't know who the U.S. player is, but he's pretty much falling and he's putting his hand down to catch himself on the grass, and the ball rolls into his arm. All right, to me, not a penalty, because I mean, what else are you going to do besides you know, lay out flat on your chest and not brace for impact? The other one, I believe, was Roldan. There was a shot, his arm was by his side, and it hits his arm. Again, there's not much you can do about that. It is in a natural position, and you didn't have enough time to move your hand away. The other one that's probably the most controversial is the one against my boy, George Bello. It looks like he's running down. There's a cross, and Bello's arm kind of goes up, like almost like he's sort of blocking his face. That one's a tough one. I think the referee's decision on that one is really what makes a determination, because I think if the ref makes a call for a penalty, I think they go to VAR and they don't overturn it. It stays. But because the ref did not call a penalty, and it's not clear and obvious, again, open to interpretation, they can't overturn, or they can't award that because it's not clear and obvious. So that one is a tough one, because I mean, you know, as a U.S. fan, I probably would have wanted that penalty too. But again, it's one of those things that, you know, it's part of the game, that interpretation. You know, this is one of those weird things where what is a natural position, right? Because we've seen the you know, when the players in the box, the defenders, they clasp their hands behind their back to avoid that. But, you know, imagine if you're going in for a slide tackle. You know, there's no way you could slide with your arms behind your back. I mean, it's impossible. So your arms naturally go up when you're making a movement. So I'd have to go back and watch the replay. You know, like all these things, it happens so fast. So the ref has to make, you know, it's like football. You know, it's whatever the call and the play is, and then there has to be overwhelmingly evidence to overturn it. So it's tough. I mean, I'm not saying Mexico doesn't have any right to complain about that. But again, it's the nature of the game. But U.S. win it 1-0. Just a great performance for this young squad that, you know, watching the tournament, and especially how Mexico looked in their last game. You know, I thought we might get the crap beat out of us, and it was cool. Like after, you know, after the game was over, Miles Robinson was on the field with the shirt off, and they panned to, you know, they go back to the commentators, Alexi Lalas, I think Maurice Adu, and who else was there with this, Stuart Holden or John Strong, but you know, Alexi was talking about how proud he was, and he kind of got choked up. So those moments are really cool. You know, it's makes me really proud to be an American, and you know, it's el equipo de todos, the team for everybody. There's, you know, everybody plays on the U.S. team, no matter what your, you know, ethnicity, your race, or whatever. So it's kind of cool that we were able to get that win, a huge win, and I believe it's the first time in U.S. history that they beat Mexico back to back in finals. So you know, it's just you can't say enough. And you know, you have Pulisic that put the penalty away in the Nations League that won us that one. So now, you know, it's you know, Tata Martino, I think he's in hot water. I don't see him staying on. You know, Mexico, they have a history of as soon as you lose to U.S., you're out. Doesn't matter how good you were doing. So I definitely see him exiting Mexico. And the funny thing, there was before this game, there was a conspiracy theory from the United fans that, you know, Mexico loses to U.S. and then Atlanta United sign Tata Martino back. But I honestly don't think that's going to happen. I think, you know, the team is completely different. I mean, with Tata was here, you know, he had Miguel Almirón and just a way better team than we have now. And the chemistry was way better. And then, you know, B, he had some beef with Carlos Bocanegra. I doubt, you know, that's water under the bridge. And then also, I mean, Tata's the kind of guy that likes, he doesn't like the grind of being on a club and, you know, a long-term process and showing up every day. I think he likes the national team scene where, you know, you get more breaks in between. And, you know, he's an older guy too, so I just don't see it happening. And I don't necessarily think it would work even if he came. I don't think the same spark would be there like it was. You can't live in the past. You got to move forward, right? But yeah, if Mexico lets go of Tata Martino, I mean, you're talking about World Cup qualifying is going to start next month. So you really, I don't know, you really don't want to be in a position where you don't have a coach going into World Cup qualifying. And I mean, World Cup qualifying is going to be intense. I mean, you saw it. Obviously, the U.S. and Mexico are the top dogs, but Canada gave both the U.S. and Mexico a fight. El Salvador, I mean, they played really well against Mexico. So they're going to, I mean, there's going to be, all those teams are going to be really tough to beat. And then even Jamaica, you know, they always give a good fight. So I think, you know, we get 3.5 spots. I'm hoping the half a spot, you know, we don't end up playing CONMEBOL, and we could play Asia or Oceania and have a better chance to get four teams in there. But I mean, I mean even the, you know, the U.S. and Mexico aren't guaranteed to qualify. We obviously know, you know, from the U.S. standpoint, what happened in Trinidad for the last World Cup. So it's not a guarantee for us either. Obviously, I would favor U.S. Mexico in that third spot. I mean, I think it's, I would lean Canada just because I think they have a lot of talent on their team, and they were still missing, you know, like one or two guys in the Gold Cup that were key players. So I mean, I think, you know, it might be their time, but we've said this before, right? And Canada's going to Canada, so we'll see. But it'll be interesting, you know, because I do think teams like Costa Rica, Panama, you know, obviously Guatemala, but they're not in World Cup qualifying. I think they're all rebuilding, taking a step back, and I don't really think they're going to be vying for that spot. But either way, it's still tough to play in those CONCACAF environments, you know, in Panama City, in San Salvador, you know. It's still going to be tough. But either way, USA won, USA baby. So we got a lot of momentum going into World Cup qualifying, so it's going to be intense, it's going to be fun. I mean, we just got so much soccer. You know, we had Brazil against Argentina in the final, and you had Mexico, U.S. I mean, those are like the top rivalries, I think, in, you know, the whole world. I don't care what anybody says. So it was awesome to see that game. It's always a whole lot of fun. The Mexicans add just that extra layer of spice with their fans there. You know, it was probably, I want to say like 80-20 maybe, 80% Mexico fans, 20% U.S. So still, every time we play Mexico here, It's like we're the away team, so you always have that you know, that added anger and bite to it. So it makes it mean much more when we do get the win. So hats off to the U.S. men's national team. Hats off to Greg Berhalter. You know, I think a lot of folks were doubting him, even me. But I mean, you know, he's been able to do it. I do think, though, like, I would have liked to see DK come in to that game. I think the game was calling for it. But either way, when you win, it doesn't really matter. But it's still, like, in terms of having that forward for the U.S., I think it's still up in the air. Like, is Zada this a starter? Is DK the starter? And he's still got Josh Sargent. That question is still open of who is our forward, really. I doubt Jozy Altidore's in the mix, but you never know. That is what it is, guys. Enjoy this victory. Drink a Sam Adams. Have a hot dog. Eat only American food this whole week. I will see you guys next week. Peace, y'all. Bye.
It's been real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out weekly. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out via email or on any of our social media platforms. Bye. Have a good week.